eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Amen.
I want to
see you. How do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Ain't worthy in me.
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see you. So we look into the Word. We find him while we're here. And then we'll have the ability to go there and be able to see him, won't we? And good to see everybody with us. Good to have our, we say company when you've been here before, so we're glad to have our company with us today, visiting, glad to have you, and just pray that the Lord would bless you. And I know we'll have, as Terrence said, a little Jonas, he's here with us today, so that's his first time being here, and maybe some of you is the first time, so just, you know, we appreciate you coming. You're just a part of us, because that's all we are. Amen? Remember this coming... We had a wonderful time last night at the Bible study. If you want to listen to it, it might be interesting to hear. We got into some comical things and all of that, but you'll be able to listen to it. But now remember, to the ministers only, the ministers' meeting will be here this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock, starting at 10 and then going through. So just remember that. Then the third Saturday, the fellowship meeting we'll be at Brother Krishane's, and we'll be at 3:30, so remember that. And Wade, as you know, is down preaching for Brother Collins this week. We appreciate that the Lord would guide him and give him, you know, help the people. And, you know, Richard went for his test, our son-in-law went for his test there the other day, and they wound up and said everything was great. And he couldn't even hardly tell where that they had put him back together, you know, when they operated on him back yonder. So we appreciate God doing his work. Amen. Because he said he would always do it. Amen. So we're going to read from Revelation 1, and then we're going to read from 1 Peter 1, and then we'll read from Luke 10. Amen. So if I missed any other announcements, we just... lay it to our ignorance and all, okay? Father, we thank you. We love you, and we ask you that you would just guide each and every one of us in thine understanding. Give us of thy love and grace that we may walk in the light of your understanding in this day and time that we're living, and to be ready against the day, because we believe that every day closer gets us closer to you. And just have your way. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us. Make us to walk in the light of your love, Lord. Bless each one. Bless Wade there today as he's ministering, Brother Collins, and just be with him, Lord, and just be with us here that we may see you, because that's our desire. We love you, and we thank you. We just ask you to have your way. Keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. We've been reading this one now for quite a while, but we just keep kind of adding a few scriptures in to give us understanding. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So we believe the time being here, right? Now we go to 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we'll go to Luke to just tie into the message, maybe this afternoon, but we'll try to get into it. Luke 1, verse 19. Now, let's read this all together, okay? Everybody ready? Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We thank you for praying about our shoulder. It's a whole lot better. I can get my arm on up a little bit, but sometimes it's kind of rough getting the coat on and off. And boy, they had to come in to help me, because once you try to get one arm in, it doesn't work getting the other one. But it's coming. It's working out all right. So I just took a little tumble the other day during the rain and working and all in a hurry, and kind of stretched things out of the place. But thank God for the healer, and he is that healer. Now, we have been studying for some while now. This is message number 17. And we've been talking about or taking a study on the book of Revelations leading up to chapter 5, which would be the basis of what we were wanting to come to or to see, to understand. So we went through those things in Revelations 1, and then going through seeing the one in the midst of the seven golden candlestick like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with a golden girdle, and seeing that was bride form. And then we made our statement that we've made basically every service, is that if you want to find yourself, go in the book of Revelations, because that is the book to find yourself in. It is the book personally to you. It's your day, it's your hour, your time is there to understand, the time to understand. All right? See, then, as I've always said, if I was taking one book and they said you can't have but one book out of the Bible, what do you want? We're going to isolate you. Well, give me the book of Revelations. See, since the prophet has come and spoke to us and the symbols are broken and we can understand and read, then we don't have any trouble being able to comprehend the book of Revelations, because we were trying to figure it out on our own and we couldn't do it, and neither could the prophet of God until God broke it unto him to reveal the word. But thank God for the prophet coming to bring us the message. All right. And see, then I've told you then that in the book of Revelations, you find in the writings of the gospel, it's writing about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's telling about Jesus Christ and what went on earth and during the time and things. And then Paul, Peter, James, John, the writers of what we call the New Testament, then they were writing about their revelation of Jesus Christ and putting that in form to where that we would have it to understand. All right. Then we would find then a vast gap between that period of time and the end time, and we know that God would always like a breach comes, a gap between something, but he has always been gracious to fill in that area to where that we can understand. So then we looked at it as the first chapter of Revelations, filling in the gap from what the writings of what the apostles were saying. And then I told you, and I keep telling you, to read the book of Revelations, and in that book of Revelations, you never find Jesus Christ by himself. He's always revealing himself either to or right there with, but it's basically in the bride of Jesus Christ or with the bride of Jesus Christ, you know, in the book of Revelation. So that's a wonderful book to me. That's why I love to read it. Then I can see myself sitting there and seeing those things. And then we went up as John was to type the rapture in chapter 4 and seeing the open door and the things that was in Revelations 4, taking it kind of verse by verse to express those things of Revelations 4, and seeing that there was a throne set in heaven and one set on the throne. We went through covering then what the prophet had to say about that throne and how it came into being, and that throne, Brother Brown says, was the Father's throne, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, see, then it would have to have, if it's going to be sitting there, is going to have to be a time on earth that transpires. You can read in the seals and the things, the sixth seal, there's going to be a tribulation period, right? The sixth seal covers that part. Well, you know what? There has to be a time on earth that will take place. You agree? See, that's the point I've been trying to get you to look at. That, you know, see, then if you can look up there and see a throne and one sitting on the throne and see a rapture and see the bride already there sitting with him on the throne, then there must be here on earth something that has taken place to be able to match that. It's kind of, you know, like I've always tried to get you to see matching pieces. That's why when Martin Luther, see, when he brought the message of the just shall live by faith, then once he brought that message, his life would be very short, because that he, you know, that was all he was to bring. He wasn't to bring any more. Now, he preached a lot of things, right? But that message of the just shall live by faith. Well, here comes John Wesley, see, coming along with sanctification. And then when he does, then, you know, he would be short-lived, because that was all he had. Then come Azusa Street with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gifts being restored. And that would be short-lived, because there was not anything else to take place in that time. But then in the end time, the prophet was to come to bring us the message. And see, then we've been, what, 40-something years now in a lot of us in that amount of time even studying the message that has been brought unto us. See, then we've got a vast time here. I know the prophet called it a short time, because it is. See, some of the ages was real long, but this one is going to be real short. Why? Because it's going to end in a rapture. But now, if we can look there and read that and see ourselves there, sitting on the throne in heaven and all, then we've got to realize that the throne of God must start in the heart of man by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? And be able to manifest here on earth to match what's there. All right, when it does, then we're going there. Luther and them had to go by the grave, because there was not any more for them to bring. All right? See, Luther couldn't bring Wesley's message, so there was no way, you know, for him to go on, so he had to go by the grave. But see, you and I are not to go by the grave. I believe somebody's going to be changed the moment twinkle of an eye, and why can't I believe that I'm one of them? I've been around here a long time, and I surely have enjoyed being here, but I want to get out of here. I want to be changed. I want to be here when that takes place, you know, and doing that part. And even if I miss it, then I'll get me a ticket and go to Israel, because I'll get to see God in action, right? But see, I don't even plan to missing it, but if I do, you just bank on, oh, Brother Dale's gone to Israel, because I want to see God in action. That's always been my desire, my thoughts, and all, is to see God made manifest among his people. All right. And now, see, in this hour, we're seeing those things. Then we got to Revelations 5. All right, we took Revelations 4 basically verse by verse. But then we came over into Revelations 5 and picking up in Revelations 5 and seeing that, and let's just read this because we've been through it, but let's read it again because I love it. Go ahead and pull up the quotes that are supposed to be quoted. It'll be number two of the number one and number two. All right. Look what Brother Branham has to say about these things. This is taken in Revelation chapter 5, part 2, 61, 618, paragraph 79 and 80. All right. We find out then that this first beginning of the chapter, that we find the fifth chapter is just a tie block. It's a diamond hitch. In other words, tying together. It is a word we would use called breach. And if you'll go back to the breach, you'll find Brother Branham referring basically to chapter 5 in the breach, and just read it, you know, and then he's telling all of the things that's happening and what will take place. All right. He said a diamond hitch that ties the last part of the church age of the third chapter. The fourth chapter tells us what John was taken up into heaven. And the fifth chapter, watch it, is preparing for these. Now what? The fifth chapter is a preparing. Now we were talking about this in the Bible study last night, and I said like a gap, there's a breach. See, there's many places in the Bible that there's a breach. But now a breach is just mean a gap. Right? All right, that's not very valuable unless you're able to get across. I mean, you go down and you see a river and it's 100 foot wide and 20 foot deep. Well, you don't want to step out and start treading water, I don't think. You know. But you need something to get across. So you search for a bridge. All right? So that's the way God does things. He makes a bridge in there. And just to cut it short of what we were talking about, see, then when it comes up to the sixth chapter of Revelations, Brother Branham covers the sixth seal and the ending of it. And when he comes to the seventh seal, you'll notice it goes 6 at the end of chapter 6, and then it goes to 8:1 is the seventh seal. And Brother Brown said, now this is all we have to go on. What? The seventh chapter. So he preached a message about the seventh chapter to build it over. See? To make a bridge. Then he could go to chapter, to Revelation, you know, on the seventh seal and start speaking of it. And that's what he's saying here now. We need something, you and I need something to be able to understand. So John is writing this to us, about us, and sending it. We need something to be able to understand. Now here's our problem. But Brother Dale, Brother Branham has already preached it. Amen. But that don't mean we have it. Your computer's got it, if that's the way it works. It can quote it back to you and everything else. Even correct the spelling if you need to. Right? But it don't mean it's right. You know, it don't mean, what I mean, it don't mean it's got to be revealed. Everybody said, no, can't you just look back there and see in 1963 when the Lord came? Well, that's right, I agree with you. He came to Brother Branham. Right? He came to Brother Branham. Right? See, then you say, well, we got it because he came. That's a good Baptist doctrine. And I come from there and I know their doctrine. All right? The Baptists say, I got the Holy Ghost because it came on the day of Pentecost. Now, are you listening? They say they've got it because it came on the day of Pentecost. They don't say they've got it because it's an experience in their heart of the same thing of Pentecost. They say we got it because it come there. Well, is that the way we are in the message? Brother Brown says something. What did I say? Yeah. I'm not saying he's coming, Brother Brown said. I'm saying he's here. Well, he's here. Brother Brown said he was. Well, that's good. But where's he at? Huh? All right. See, I'm just trying to be serious about the situation because we've had 40-something years to run around Horeb and argue with each other. Right? Is that what the children of Israel done? 40 years round and around one mountain. You know, that'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? And you could say, boy, I know that mountain. You remember it there? I sat down yesterday and I draw that out and I remember where that tree is and that hill is and that thing. See, that's the way we do with the message. Oh, we know all about it. But has it been revealed? All right, now do you understand what I'm saying? The fifth chapter is a preparing. All right, now we'll read this on further on in a second. Brother Branham had to have a preparation. The seals wasn't opened in 33, right? Why? Like I said Wednesday, Brother Branham said it took him 30-something years before he could even preach the stature of perfect man. Now that's what he said. Well, see, then the seals couldn't break. Brother Brown tried to preach the seals in his early ministry, right? And he had the white horse rider as the Holy Ghost. Right? Come on. But see, when God opened the seals, then he saw where the truth was. All right? Now, in doing that, he had to have a foundation or a preparation or a breach, you know, something to be able to come across. So Brother Branham is in his studies. He's back here in 61, and he's getting ready and he's studying for the opening of the seals. And as he's doing it, a foundation must be there. That's why I keep saying it, because I mean it. I'm serious. I've always said this. People say Brother Branham was wrong in his early ministry, but right after the seals broke. Well, I want you to come show me that. You're quoting what somebody says that don't have one eye and half sense. That's what Brother Don Ruddle used to say. I'll quote him. He said, anybody with one eye and half sense ought to know that ain't right. Right? But you see, church, we want to look at something and say, we're here. Well, where are we at? All right? Let's go ahead and pull it back up to where we can read a little bit, because it's a preparation. The fifth chapter is not a verse by verse. We'll read that. He said it's a scene. Now you go down to the movie, or you go down especially to a play, and they open the curtain. That's what you call a scene. All right? Now it goes through so much. So many actors are on stage and playing out their parts. But then you close the curtain. And then you got another scene. Well, I brought around him and saying, now what? If it's a scene, then we need to know what the scene is about. So look what he says. There's the diamond hitch to the lights. You know, the fourth chapter tells what John was taken up into heaven. And the fifth chapter is preparing for these. Where we went through the seven church ages. Now what? Then John's lifted up in the fourth chapter. Now this is his preparation. Right? And the fifth chapter is just setting a scene for the opening of the seven seals. Now watch it. At this time, he doesn't know what the seals are. Come on. I wasn't the one that wrote the book, and they put it out, so they ought to read their own book, if nothing else. Everybody ought to. Brother Branham, even when he preached the breach, he preached what God in simplicity and preached the breach. He said, I do not know what the first seal is. Oh, yeah, he knowed all about it. Then he lied. I don't have no problem saying that. He said he didn't. When he preached the first seal, he said, I don't know what the second, third, fourth, fifth. All right. That's sensible. That's plain language. All right. But look what he's saying. Here he doesn't know about it. He doesn't know what it is. But he knows this is a preparing. You remember when he got over to the Daniel 70 weeks? He said, if we don't get this out of the way, we won't be able to understand the seals. So he had to get it out of the way. He had to preach it. Well, people just gone haywire all about it. But in the Daniel 70 weeks, he said, if you don't understand the Daniel 70 weeks, he said, you can't understand the seals. I didn't write the book. I didn't make the quote. See? But I believe it. See? But everybody now, they just bypass everything. Oh, yeah, I know all about the seals. That's white horse riders, Antichrist. Yeah, that's boy, we got it straight now. Well, amen. But Clarence Larkin taught that before Brother Branham ever come along. That don't make Clarence Larkin the prophet. It made him having one thing right. But he probably had everything else messed up because he's still a Trinitarian, because that's what he was back there. All right. But look what he's saying. John's lifted up. This is setting a scene for the opening of the seven seals. Just as he did in the first chapter. Yeah. Opening the way for the church ages. First chapter. Opening a way. What is the thing in the first chapter? There he stands in the seven golden candlesticks. He's to look upon as jasper and sardine stone. That's putting chapter 1 and chapter 4, because chapter 4 is where you bring in the sardine stone together. All right? And he's preparing for those seven church ages. See, the chapter 1 was preparing for the seven church ages. All right? Now what's taking place? Now he's preparing for the opening of those seals of redemption. See, that's what the fifth chapter is. That's the reason I kind of read it and then just take it from there and talk on it and give the other parts of the scripture, is because it isn't verse by verse something that's happening. Now read it. It's preparing for something to happen. There's a lot of difference in that, right? Come on. And if you get to preparation, then you're ready for it then. And that's the way it is by the faith or anything else. It's a preparation for the opening of the seals. The opening of this book that we'll read in a minute. Because chapter 4 doesn't talk about a book. It talks about a throne, one sitting on the throne, 24 elders, rainbow around about the throne, etc. But it doesn't do it. We're going to read Revelation 5 in just a minute, and then we'll start our point. But in Revelation 5, you see one sitting on the throne with a book in his hand. All right. Now, we've got to understand that. The fifth chapter now is going to be our basis to understand. That's why he said, I don't take it this. Now, he explained verse by verse. But he said, I'm trying to get you to see a scene. Now, the scene is in heaven. You remember? That was where they messed up, or where Brother Branham even messed up himself. And when they asked him about it, or he was talking about the fifth chapter, and he said, that was Israel after the rapture. Then he said, hold it, something went wrong. He said, you remember that was the question. Something went wrong, he said. He said, now hold it a minute. He said, you know, somebody told him, which was Brother Ned Iverson, told him, said, read your question or your scripture over. He said, that is the bride of Jesus Christ already in glory. He said, you see where I would have missed that? Huh? Now, if we go up in Revelation 4:1, the prophet said it and not seen to Revelation 19, then the seals evidently must be to Israel. I've preached that for 40-something years, so I don't have to worry about it. The opening of the seals is to you and I. Because he said, Abraham, I can't withhold anything from you. I'm going to show you the beginning and the ending. Right? It can't be withholding. It's got to be, he's got to give it. So we get to Revelation. Now come on, get in your questions and answers of the seals. They asked Brother Branham, does the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be God, that fulfill the first seal? He said yes. The only question he got on the seals. And he answered it with a simple yes. Because I imagine the man's heart was in his stomach along that time, because all they could do in the opening of the seals, and he didn't announce it, he said these are to be things about the seals, and they wanted to know questions like, should a woman wear pantyhose, or should they wear this, or should they wear things to go to bed, or some kind of, or what about Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Brother Branham? Don't you think we're to be baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Now, don't you think he was brokenhearted after preaching the whole week? Now, I wasn't the man that made the statement. as I was saying a while ago, he said, Brother Brown said it, we got it. Well, you know, there is a statement. It's in the questions and answers. He says it's gone from you, or either the seventh seal. He said it's gone from you, and there's no way for you to know it. Now, that's what he said. Read your book. If you don't, come to my office. I'll be glad to run it off for you. He said it's gone from you. There's no way for you to know it. He said something will happen right around the coming of the Lord. Don't you think we ought to be somewhere around the coming of the Lord? Now, to show you that we're not trying, because we're trying to stay, we're going to try to stay with the right-hand point this morning and not deal with the book. Now, we're going this afternoon if we get there. But we find in Revelation 5, one sitting on the throne, all right, with a book in his right hand. All right. Now, I'll get to it this afternoon more, because I don't want to spend much time on it this morning. But what kind of a book is that? It is certainly not a book like we read, because this was back before this form of books came into being. All right? Right? It was scrolls and things like that, right? All right. But really, what kind of a book was it? The book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. All right? Go ahead now with where I wrote on, start here, because I was going to just quote those. Be number one, start here, which is taken 63:3-18, the first seal, paragraph 12. Now, as we study this chapter, referring different places, even to the Old and the New Testament alike, because the entire book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, we know that, Brother Dale. Why would you want to keep emphasizing that? Your prophet kept emphasizing it. Why can't I? And just say what he says. See? So what is the entire book? What is the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne? We'll get this afternoon more on it, but what is it? It's the book of redemption. Right? You can argue whether it's this or whether it's that, but it's the book of redemption. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And like I told them last night, if you would follow something the prophet done, he cut short on the seventh seal, remember? And some didn't even know it last night until I mentioned it. A lot of people don't know that Brother Branham, when he preached the original seventh seal, that night, he went home and got to thinking about it. The next day, he got together before they would release any tapes, and he preached called the comments, and he withheld part of the original seventh seal. Now, I'll show you in the seal book. We had them last night. Brother Joe can run it far. You need to look at it. He put out comments. All right. Those comments stayed until the next year after he died, in after 65. It would come out in 66. The Branham Foundation voted to release the original seventh seal. A lot of people don't even know that. But it's right there in your seal book. It even gives you the page number where it starts and stops. Huh? But see, in the original seventh seal, you look at it, and really there's only twofold that he's even speaking of. All right. You go read your book. But a short time after then, he preached a message called Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. He said, if you miss it in the seals, he didn't say go back and read them again or hear the tapes. Read the book. He said, read Christ the Mystery. He said, if you miss it in the seals, come back to this message. Because in that message, he preached a threefold revelation. Right? And he said it was the seventh seal, page 1617 of Christ the Mystery. All right? Now, you say, well, what's that got to do with what we're talking about now? Because it's a complete revelation of Jesus Christ. So that third fold that everybody thinks is some kind of a great big, I don't know what you'd say they think it is, because that's the way people's minds are. It would have to be something about the revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's all the book reveals. That's all that's in the book. No, Brother Dale, it's a secret mystery. Yeah, I know all about it. They make it a great secret mystery, right? Till some of them says that great secret mystery under that seventh seal is polygamy. And they can have all the wives they want. I never did understand, because I never heard any of them preach that all the women could have all the husbands they wanted. I never did read that way. It was always the men could have all the wives they wanted. You know. The great mystery secret is the little hen, the rooster with a whole lot of little hens running around, you know. Well, if that's what it is, mankind had that a long time ago. Right? But that's not what it is. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? Pull up the next one then, because that's what I want to go to. Just keep going on down. All right, what, did we finish that one? All right. The Old and the New Testament, it's revelation of, it's God's revelation, God revealing himself in the book, revealing himself through Christ in the book. And Christ is the revelation of God. He come to reveal God because he and God were the same. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And otherwise, you'd never know just what God was until he revealed himself through Christ. Now, that's your prophet's statement. Now, I've got this great, you know, you're going to see him in Christ first. Well, I see him in myself, then I see him in Christ. No, you're backwards. I'm sorry, you missed the whole story. You're going to see him in Christ, then you can see him in yourself. Because my Bible says it's Christ in you. So Christ had to come first and then be in you. Right? Come on. All right. It's revealing himself through Christ in the book, and Christ is the revelation of God. He come to reveal God because he and God were the same. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and otherwise you'd never know just what God was until he revealed himself through Christ. Then you can see. I used to think, now here's your prophet. Oh, that Brother Branham, he come in there, he understood Jesus Christ all the way through his life. Now, he was a prophet, and he never was a Trinitarian. Come on. But look what he said. I used to think years ago that maybe God was angry with me, but Christ loved me. Come to find out, it's the same person, see, and Christ is the very heart of God. So the book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who does it reveal? Go to number two. It's the rising of the sun, paragraph 308, 65-418 morning. He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. For the whole word of God is Christ, and Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of the seals then? Revealing Christ. I like that. You notice Brother Branham didn't preach Jesus was the mystery of God revealed. You missed your title. He preached Christ is the mystery of God revealed. I believe it's page 74, Christ the Mystery, where the bride, I've got it in either this afternoon or somewhere. He said the bride is part of the mystery. You know what Brother Brown says? God is not complete without you. I got those quotes laying on the desk waiting for a time. We've been down through here before. But listen. He is those seals, for the word of God is Christ. Now, the word of God is Christ. Okay. Brother Brown said, if you read the book and don't see Christ in every verse, now he didn't say Jesus, he said Christ, in every verse, he said, read it again, you miss something. So when it says so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so, and an hour later you're still reading so-and-so begot so-and-so, that's talking about Christ. So somewhere in there is a lineage, you'll find. 14 from here to here, 14 from here to here, et cetera. He lays it down. Listen, church. Then what are we seeing? Now remember what I said. The prophet said the fifth chapter was a preparation for the opening of the seals, a foundation. Setting a stage, filling up the gap that we were talking about between here and there. Bringing it forth and showing Jesus Christ standing there. Not like a brother up there in Tennessee said, his people said he stood in that gap for them. Well, Brother Branham don't stand in that gap for me. Jesus Christ stands in that gap. Now, he used Brother Branham. Right. He used Brother Branham to bring the message. But Brother Branham didn't stand in the gap. He can't be Jesus Christ. Right. Now, without him, we wouldn't have no way to get over the gap. But just make sure you keep it right. He said, if you make me Jesus Christ, you make me Antichrist. So that's his words. All right. But now, we're talking about a foundation, a preparation, a getting things ready. What greater foundation could there be than the Word of God? I like what the old colored brother said. He said, I'd rather be standing on the Word than standing in heaven. He said, because the Bible says, the Word says, heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God abideth forever. So now let's get a foundation then. That's what I was trying to do Wednesday night, and I couldn't leave it, so we'll just have to stay with that part. All right. Look at the next one, which is, do you now believe, 1953, 11, 6, E, 8. Now, the very way that I have faith in God is first by His Word. Faith is a revelation, right? All right, so deal with that. Keep that in your mind in a minute. Maybe if I don't mention it, you'll hold that point. And if of any vision or any person would speak anything that was contrary to the Word, what does he say? Then don't hear it. Right? This is the fundamental foundation of all God has said to His church. What? The Word is. And every person's faith must be built sovereignly upon the Bible. Must be built sovereignly on the Bible. The only foundation that we have. So how are we going to get across this from Revelation 4 to Revelation 6? Well, I'm back to that again. Brother Branham said it. But has it been revealed to you? What revealed? See, we're looking for secret mysteries. Some tantalizing something. Right? Now, I just laid the foundation of showing you exactly what I'm talking about. The seals, the entire Bible, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So then there must be something about Jesus Christ that we need to know. Now, is it true that Brother Branham always preached one true and living God? And that Christ was that God? Then why did he preach a message over after the seals broke? And called it Christ is a mystery. He must have seen more about Christ. Right? There must have been something about Christ that wasn't being made known. Just like I read down there. He said, I used to think that God hated me and Jesus loved me. Until it was revealed, in other words, that they're the same person. Right. Now, this is your prophet there with growth development through his understanding, right? So what are we trying to do? A lot of people say, well, brother, Oh, Brother Dale, it's just word, 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 word. Well, what are you? What I said I liked about what Brother Joseph was to write to him, hadn't heard any more about it, about the when the man up there said, you know, the movie, or the people up there in that Kentucky where they was talking about Brother Branham and the guy was going through and all of the things, you've heard about it. And did this, are they still this? Yeah, they're just listening to them same old 1,200 term tapes over and over. Joseph wrote them back, and it was, at least it's in his comments, that it said, we've been reading the same Bible for 2,000 years over and over. That's a good point. You know, you can argue all you want to about anybody. Just tell them what the Word says. All right? See a foundation. All right? Look at the next one. This is from the Message, Looking for Jesus, 228, excuse me, evening. E15. Now, the ministers usually here in it. Now, the ministers usually. Here is the basis and foundation of all Christendom. It lays right here in the Bible. Anything outside of that is untrue. That's right. It has to be based on thus saith the Lord. All right. What's going to carry us across? What's going to fill in any gap for us to understand? It's going to have to be the Word. It can't be our ideas and thoughts. They've run the wild fields of that, and you know it. Because they've had all kinds of, as I say, in polygamies, they've had all kinds, I'm the guy to take over, and I'm supposed to be, it's supposed to be an Indian, supposed to be this one, supposed to be over here, supposed to be over there, you got to follow this. Well, you know what? God is just letting all that die off. Right? He's just letting all of them that was running the field just die off. Because it ain't no good when it comes to a battle anyway. Come on, in the natural, you don't. If we went to war today, you think they would take me over there? They wouldn't even spend time putting me in an airplane to help them fight. But I'm too old and fat. I'd be a drudgery. Well, I'm not making fun of a lot of people. God showed me years ago there'd be a lot of people in this message die before the rapture would come. And that ain't no new thing said to you, right? You see them dying off now, just leaving the scene. You say, oh, they're just getting too old. A lot of, there's one fellow here in the United States lives 100, he's 114 years old, I think, the oldest person. Well, I still got about 42 years to go then. You know. So don't just get in your mind, play toys with it, see. Be real in what you're doing. Look at the next one. The Curtain of Time, 1955. 302, paragraph 47. And went ahead, and he said, he started. Jesus never started to argue with them or talking. He said, watch what he did. Went straight to the Word. That's it, brother. The Word of God. That's the basis and foundation of all salvation and healing, lays in the Word. Watch him. Not in your feelings. Not what you think about it. But what God has said about it. Amen. Oh, I wish I could have a tack, and I could tack that in your heart where it would never get loose. Now, what could be said any more than that? A foundation. The foundation of all things. The next one, number 6. What is it? Statue of a perfect man. Notice you must be born again, and when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. That's right. So you see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you're a skeptic of the Bible, when you're skeptic of the Word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe. I think it's about time to believe. If it ain't, what are we doing? What are we, what are we doing? Now, pull up Revelation 5:1 and let's get started. We'll go for just a little while. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, I know I'm hateful, sarcastic, arrogant. I know that. I'm sorry. But ever since I've been in the message, I've heard very few people preaching about the one on the throne, the book in his hand. They're always trying to figure out that writing on the inside and on the backside. Now, you know that's true, right? There's been all kind of versions put out of what that meant. Writing on the inside and writing on the outside. Seal with seven seals. Instead of getting the foundation of the one on the throne and the book in the hand to be able to understand, is trying to figure out something that they know nothing about. So a brother gets his idea and he runs with it, and then everybody wants to follow after that. And then after a while they see that kind of crumble and they float back. Then you see them, another one comes up, and another young fella gets a really anointing and gets to go, and everybody wants to run with him. You know what I've always told you? Just let them run. Don't argue with them. Because they're going to run out and settle down. Because it's like there when Jesus was there. And you remember who was it? Gamaliel said, now there's a fella rose up over here and led about 400 out yonder. And said, after a while it all petered out, and fell away. So I suggest what we do is leave this man alone. Because if it's not right, it's going to be like that. But if it is right, we're going to be fighting against God. He had a good point, didn't he? Brother Brown said because of his stand, he never record of him receiving the Holy Ghost, him or Nicodemus or Gamaliel. But he said they would be given eternal life because of their stand. And right there is a good stand. Let's just leave it alone. If it be anything, it'll survive. But if not, it'll come to naught. Well, that's what you do with all these doctrines and ideas and thoughts, right? I was curious and I ran in there on the computer to just see how many times it speaks of right hand. Because that's what we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about the book till this afternoon or maybe Wednesday. No. But we're going to talk about the right hand. Well, I know all about right hand's power. Well, there's some maybe doesn't know that. Maybe they haven't seen it. I run it in to see how many times it says right hand in the Bible. And I know what it can be meaning, different things in different versions, whatever. And there's somebody, right hand, he took with his right hand and all. But right hand is mentioned 161 times in the Bible. What does your prophet keep emphasizing? Right hand. Right hand. Sure, we know it's power and authority, right? But have you ever just went through just a little bit, so we'll do this for a minute and then we'll quit. So go ahead, brothers. They got all these scriptures lined up that we can go one after the other and come down. They can put them all up at once or one at a time. Now, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he died and paid the price. And where'd he go? According to 2 Peter, this is where Peter said he went, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. All right. Do we know where he went to by the Bible? Get the next one. The next one was speaking Hebrews 10 and 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Right. Do we know where he went? Keep on going. Hebrews 8 and 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. You know what sum means? You're getting everything, you bring it all together. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So it's right hand of God, right hand of throne of majesty, so it's evident in the same place. You follow that? All right. Look at the next one. Who being the brightness, Hebrews 1 and 3, of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. All right, you connect it. The hand, it has to be then the right hand of God, would have to be the right hand of majesty or throne. All right. Now, Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, on the right hand of God, in the original thought that we would bring, was when Jesus would resurrect, he would sit on the throne. Now we're calling it the Christ. Right. Look at Mark 16 and 19. They saw him go here. Right? So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Do we know where he went to? They saw him go there. All right. Jesus referred to this position in Matthew 26:64. Jesus saith unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. All right. It was spoken of, according to Mark 12 and 36, where David said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. That was David back in the Psalms, right? Prophesying of it. Stephen actually saw what Jesus said. Jesus said, you'll see the Son of Man sitting at your right hand. Stephen at his crucifixion, Acts 7, 55, 56, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Right? Stephen saw it. Paul spoke of it, Romans 8 and 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. See? Ephesians 1 and 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Who did it? God raised him. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Acts 5 and 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand. Are you reading? All the others been going to the right hand or on the right hand or whatever. How did Jesus get to where he was at? Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts 2 and 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Are you listening? Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a lot more in it, if you want to read, just run in right hand. But you see, we want to look at right hand as being, well, yeah, he was sitting on the right hand. Now, you know what that was with all of us before we heard the message, right? God had a great big old hand, and Jesus was sitting on it. So we got the Trinity. Father's on the throne, and Jesus is sitting on his hands, and the Holy Ghost is down here in the church upon earth. So we got a good Trinity, right? Well, now, we might have had a little different version, right? You know what I'm saying? We might not have thought that, but as I told you, when Brother Mode asked me what I believed about God, I said that Baptist doctrine see as one true and living God. That's their basis. But to explain it, he said, now explain it. I said, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. He said, you Trinity just like the rest of them. Well, boy, I didn't get mad and stomp out and feud and wouldn't talk to him no more. I said, would you explain yourself, sir? He said, person's a personality. Personality's an individual. Individual's a person. I said, now, if you got them three persons, you're just as Trinity as anybody else. Well, I've told you before, it didn't take me no 5 minutes. It didn't take nothing. I looked at him and I said, I don't believe that no more. That's what I said, because I didn't. Why? Because he'd done nailed my hide to the wall, and there was nowhere I could go. I had enough sense to know that. I could have quoted, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No, I knew better than do that, because I'm talking to a man that could quote faster than I could. And I was glad of it. That man knew three-quarters of the Bible by memory. And I'd always go, and I'd be looking for scripture. I'd just go over and say, Brother Moat, where's the scripture? It says so-and-so and so-and-so. He'd just rattle it off. But you see, we think we're smart. You can't prove to me there ain't no Trinity. I get to heaven. If they ain't three thrones and three gods, I'll leave. You ain't never heard that one? That's what people say. Right? All right, just for a second. Maybe we can bring this message to part of a close anyway. What is the right hand? I can give you the quotes. Go ahead and pull it up and they can read it, Brother Joe and Brother Anderson. And, you know, you can read some of it, but you ought to know these quotes by heart. The right hand is not that God has got a big old right hand. And it's not one person sitting here, another person sitting here, because we already went to it there Wednesday night. Or last Sunday, that Brother Randall said he come and took the book, climbed up on the throne, and sat down. Well, now you got the Father on the throne and the Son on the throne. If you got two persons. But if you got one, you got the opening of the Word. The revealing of one true and living God. All right. So then what do? We look at it. He said his right hand means power. He says, for instance, like if they had full sway of the church and Brother Neville come along, you know, and he'd hand it over to him, in other words, and go, he said, he's my right hand. We talk about the right hand. That's the reason I gave you. Where he's sitting on the right hand, but he was exalted by the right hand. See, right hand means power and authority. All right. Go ahead to the next one. I won't read them, so you can just go down through there and read them off yourself. Right hand. Not God has a right hand that somebody's sitting on. Right hand means power and authority. Got the authority of everything in heaven and in earth. You remember that after his resurrection? We'll get to it this afternoon. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know what Brother Brown said about that? He said, if that be true, and he's right in his statement, he said, then if you got another God, he ain't got no power. I love the way he just talked plain. You know, you can't argue that point. A theologian, he can fuss and scream and holler other quotes, but he can't argue a simple little point. He ain't got sense enough to become simple. So the prophet said, then your God is powerless. Because Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And you know, he never said that until after his death, burial, and resurrection. Right? He didn't say it when he was here in life. Right hand means power. I'll just cut off a lot of this and come right back to the point. Right hand means power and authority. So then if you got Jesus having power and God having power. See? Now, while Jesus was here alive on earth, there was things he didn't know. You agree? Do you need these quotes? Brother Brown said he didn't know his future work in the church until after his death, burial, and resurrection, come to John on Patmos. All right? You need these quotes. Be glad to give them. But see, Jesus then didn't have all power when he was on earth. I'm talking about before his death, burial, and resurrection. You say, well, you better paddle in a hurry. You're caught. No, I ain't caught. I love it in deep water. See, because Jesus said, I do nothing until my Father shows me. Right? So you're going to paddle back out yourself now because I'm out of the water stand waiting on you. I don't mean that sarcastically. I just mean it's the truth. See, people think they're smart in the Word, but don't get caught in the Word. Maybe I'm just a good old Baptist, but you know what Brother Brown said about him? He said that good old Baptist will tear you apart with the Word. He said you better know what you're talking about. See, because we read the Bible. We didn't read everything else. Huh? Maybe that's all I am today. What are you? See? So Jesus, when he was here on earth, now watch. Now power and authority. He had the authority invested of him of the Father, right? Now you agree with that? I mean, he had the power invested to him. All right? Didn't know everything. Didn't, you know. But you know what? While he was here, that's where we read in Luke there when we started. He said, I give you power over serpents, etc. And even the power of the enemy. Right? You see, he said, and I can show you the quotes where he said, there's where the church fails because they don't believe that. They don't believe that they have power. Remember, it's what he gives us. We don't have any power of our own. That's where we tried to work that up and make it work, and it don't do it. It's what he gives us. Jesus never credited power of his own. He credited power of the Father. But you see, when he received all the power, then where's his power now? I'm laying here if you'd like to read them, where Brother Brown said, you see there were those stars in his right hand. He said, those were the messengers of the age. He said, they were the voice and power of God. Well, if they're there, then we're there. Why can't you see what we are, church? If all power in heaven and earth was given unto him, and he gave us that same power according to my Bible that I read where it says that we are co-equal with him. What the Bible says. Co-equal. So whatever he has, I have. Right? I told him at work one day down there, I said, my father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And said, if he was hungry, he wouldn't ask you for anything to eat. I said, oh boy, he said, come here. He called his guy over and said, tell him about your father. That's my father. But you see, we just don't believe it. We read it, but we don't believe it. Now, I'm trying to illustrate, so you remember where that we were talking a while ago, that everybody thinks Brother Branham said it, and I got it. Well, you know, he said that every born-again believer, taking the word of God upon his lips, was deity speaking. Do you believe that? Like we was talking about the other week there about the everybody wants to make the combat beast. They say the man, you know, the lion, the ox, the man, all that was God in the people. But when it come to the lights, when the eagle, Brother Branham, all by himself. And then we got an eagle age out here that everybody's even sinners puts eagles on their houses and their thing. You go in a store to buy something, go in a novelty store and you see eagles all over the place. Right? Brother Branham said, when the eagles, plural, come. You want to need that quote? He said, when the eagles, plural, appear. I thought we believed we were little eaglets. I thought we believed we were little messiahs. But do we believe that God has made us? Remember the Bible said it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and sheep of his pasture. So it's what he's made us. He said, I give you all power over every enemy. The Bible says there's no weapon formed that can conquer you. Right? They can drop a bomb right in this building. It can explode and not hurt one in here. Right? But see, do we believe that? No, that's what we're scared of. We're afraid to step out. Right? Of course, then comes up the thing, see. But Brother Dale, we don't see much going on at Lula either. Well, that's the ones I'm talking about. That's our problems. We're at Lula. We're not everywhere else. What goes on everywhere else, no business of mine. We're in Lula. But now that ain't the end of the story. People don't like it. But we have it on record. The dead raised. Sick of all forms being healed. People with cancer totally gone. Rain coming in a dry spell. It's on record. But see, even to you as believers that have been here and seen those things, looking at a man that told you medically, my blood type has been changed from A positive to A negative, medically proven. Right? Great doctor told me, said, I'll take your kneecaps off because they wore out. That was about 30 years ago. I still got them. That's why when they come in and told me, when they run all that and I had that growth under here, and they took it out and they come in there and told me, they said, you got leukemia. I said, so what? It didn't scare you? Nope. looked at him and said, so what? He said, well, we can give you this. I said, you won't give me no chemo. Now, I'm not against people taking it. Yourself, you take it if you want to. I am not teaching you not to take it. I have never done that. But I said, you're not going to give me any chemo. I said, anything else you got, kind of help me, that's all right. But I ain't going to be no good. You'll see. Well, when they run their finalities of their tests, you know, and what they come back in and said, you got the kind of leukemia, because it was a week or so before they told me, that you got the kind of leukemia that you won't die from, you'll die with it. Because there's two different kinds of leukemia. Well, I don't care. You know? What do I care? Because I know who the healer is. Right? I fell the other day. I said, Lord, this, take care of this. Joe said, I never know you fail. I said, you work so hard. I believe in the healer. I believe in your prayers. Because in your prayers is the power of God. When are we going to believe the power of God is now in the bride of Christ? When are we going to accept that? And quit playing around. If Brother Branham was here now, you'd see great things. Amen. But why can't we believe in the same God that Brother Branham served? To heal us and deliver us and save us. See, the bride now is the power of God on earth. Where do we get into where that lamb comes from? Because it's got seven horns and seven eyes. Brother Brown said it comes from the church ages. Right hand is power and authority. And God has given us that. Take up deadly serpents. Drink deadly things. Sister up north up there just walked by one day where there was like a smoke was coming out. And you know, it just went into her lungs and just ruined them. I don't know where she's still alive, but I don't really know. You don't know the water you drink, the air you breathe, the things. You better be praying. Because everything. What about that girl the other day? What did she do? It was a simple thing. And she wound up with a disease that just her body's just, they've had to take parts off because it just started. Right. Brother Branham said, it'll come a time the cancer will just be like a toothache. See, we better be under the blood, folks, and believe in it. But would it offend you if I made this last statement? If what I've said is true, then, and Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and that we're co-equal, that whatever he has, I have, then to the bride of Jesus Christ, all the powers in heaven and earth is at your disposal. You know, I remember when I was in school that they, you know, we used to have granaries filled up with grain and everything, enough to feed our nations for years and years and years. And you know, one ambassador went to Russia and gave it to them. And you know, they had to keep his word because he was an ambassador. We send an ambassador to one of these countries, and they go over there and say it, we got to do it. Because that full authority of the United States is behind that ambassador. All heaven is behind us. Got a quote in here where Brother Brown said, it's behind us. Backing us up, we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Come on, musician. Think on these things. Power and authority. The right hand. Right hand of God The Bible says we're saved by his right hand, exalted by his right hand, all his power and authority given unto you and I. But are we afraid to step out on it? Are we afraid to just say it and believe it? You know what we do? Well, I don't want to say that I'm healed when I'm really still sick. I'd be lying. You ain't nothing but a born liar. My Bible says I'm healed. You mean I can't say what God says? He says I'm healed. But see, we say, but no, I don't want to say that. If this growth will go away, I'll go tell everybody. It ain't going to go away. You better go have it operated on. Because it ain't going to go away with that attitude. But if you look right straight at it in life, when that doctor said, I'll take your kneecap off, I looked at him and laughed. I said, you ain't going to take my kneecap off. He looked back and he laughed. I loved it. He was a good old man. Come in there. This is a specialist. This wasn't just a regular doctor. He come in there with old paint all over him. I reckon he'd been out painting or doing something. He had paint on his shoe. And I looked at him and I said, hey, you're the kind of doctor I like. You know. And he just laughed. He said, I'll take them off, Sam. I said, you won't do it. Why can't we just stand on God's word? Go ahead, brother. 592 in the Spur Book. Anybody have a need?
Let's talk about Jesus.
The King of Kings is here.
The Lord of Lords reign
through all eternity. Anybody have a need? I am the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus. My brother's got a hurting in his knees. I mean, he's ever had one. So let's just pray and believe and just accept what God says. Now, God says he's healed. So we say he's healed. All right? So now, think about it. If he was standing here, what would he do? What did he do when he's here? He laid hands on, prayed for the sick. Well, now what's the difference? I say he's greater here than he was there. Because he's got to put up with all the stuff that's around us. Right? So let's believe it. Father, we condemn this. This hurting of our brother's knee, his leg. We've had these pains and things, and we sympathize with him. But that won't heal him. But faith in a living God will change all things. So now we just lay hands on him, believe in him. And just thanking him for it. And Jesus is his name. Anybody else? Just come and let's believe. What about it? Are you afraid? Are you afraid to step out? And say, Lord, that's it. I believe it. Our brother's got a hurting in his chest or stomach, Lord. We just lay hands on him, believing you. That by your stripes, he's healed. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Anybody else? Just come and let's see. Like I said, I've seen everything but blinded eyes open. And sister back there says, hang around. Mine's coming open. All right, I believe it. What about it? Why can't we just believe it? Brother came up here not too long ago and told me he was having nightmares. We prayed. 3 days. They were gone. Huh? Why don't we believe? I didn't take them away. He did. Amen. See, it's believing. It's believing. It's just what you believe. See, if God tells me something, I don't have no problem about telling you that he told me that. All right. We were fixing to go somewhere years ago, and Brother Dix and Sister Gail, their daughter, was having a bad headache. And it just struck me. I just reached in my pocket. I took a quarter out. And I said, I want to buy that headache. I didn't pray for her. It was just something I felt like doing. I just gave her the quarter, and we got in the car, started on the war to Alabama, I guess, or somewhere. Sister Gail called back, and she said, it's all gone. It's what you believe. That's not playing games. That's what you believe. All things are possible, the Bible says, to them that believe. Oh, yeah, all things are possible to Jesus. But he said all things are possible to you if we believe it. Father, our sister's standing for her husband about a hurting in his shoulder. And Lord, we know you're the healer. You'll take care of all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just believe it. Accept it. Anybody else? Heard of God. My room so divine. You have a need. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings. But he gave us his power. What if the King of England over there gave you in your hands a piece of paper telling you that you got the power or whatever it is? Would you be worried about it? You know? Would you be concerned? No. Like I've always told you. They come and told me today, said, some of your kinsfolks died, but said you can't get the money until you're 75 years old. And they left it that way. They said, you got billions of dollars laying there. You could go tell everybody in the world you had that, but you know what I'd do? I'd go down to the bank, and I'd try to find me a banker. And I'd say, I've got this promise right here, and I got all the paperwork. Now, if you're a gambling man, I got $10 billion. If you'll give me $1 million or $2 million to live off for the next 3 or 4 years, when the time comes up, you get $1 billion out of that $10 billion. You can have it. Well, if he's smart, he'd make a good investment. Right? But you see, church, I already got it. I've already got it. I got the change of the body. I don't have to worry about it. I've got it. Why? Because it started on the inside. Father, we ask you to just be with us now as we go eat a natural meal. Bless us and guide us with your loving grace. Help us to understand what you're trying to say to each and every one of us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. If we never